Welcome, listeners out in the podcast world. This is Devin.
And Casey.
And we have a special guest, Darren.
Yeah, here I am. Here I am. Glad to have you guys, or have be on your show again.
Yeah, great to have you. So
you should recognize Darren from our sister podcast over on Between the Bubbles.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And so he's said he's wanting to guest with us again, and we're always glad to have him. So definitely have him and Braden in the future. So actually, this is kind of a special podcast for us today. Darren kind of approached us about doing this. We thought it was a great idea. But basically, what we're going to do is we're going to share some news, just some real quick tidbits. And then what we're also going to do then is have an interesting discussion about comic book movies in general. We had, this past summer, we had two of the most successful movies in comic book history, and actually ever, I would say. I mean, Avengers is one of the top.
Oh, yeah. It's what, the third highest grossing movie of all time at this point?
Oh, yeah. And so because of the success, we wanted to figure out what made these movies so successful, but also what impact do these have on the comic book world in general? What is the fact? Because we also see a surge now with not just comic book movie popularity, but comic books. And so what was it that what did these movies do at the Avengers? What's just what Marvel and also what the Dark Knight trilogy did in general to spawn this desire now to start reading comic books? So this is kind of the panel we're going to be discussing right now.
Well, and even you see people who don't necessarily maybe read comic books, but they're interested in the characters. They, you know, they want the T-shirts. They want memorabilia. Like, they reading a comic book.
Oh, yeah, you
book,
get to see guys. Like, you got, like, 40-year-old dads wearing, you know, Captain America T-shirt that he bought at Target.
Oh, yeah. I went and bought shoes today, and there's this guy with a whole bunch of earrings, you know, looked like a kind of like a emo wearing a Batman shirt that he got JCPenney. You know, it's really cool. And I think you're starting to see more acceptance for comic book readers. You're not looked down on as like a weirdo, you know, if you read comic books. Now it's like, oh, cool. I'm glad that's your thing. So anyway, I'm excited for this discussion. I'm glad that you guys were on board with it, because I think it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it'll be great. And so what we want to do real quick before the discussion, there's just a few items of business that we just want to get out of the way first. First off, so we don't go into too much news, but just to let everyone know again, next week it is on sale, I believe, October 25th, that's next Thursday, is, again, Rift Tracks doing a live riff of Birdemic. For those of you who don't know, Rift Tracks are the main guys, Mike, Kevin, and Bill from Mystery Science Theater 3000. What they do now is a thing called Rift Tracks. You go to rifttracks.com. You can download audio files of them making fun of popular movies today. And so we get a great chance to see them where they go to a movie theater live and riff the movie in front of a live audience and stream it nationwide. And
if you've never been, it's an experience. It's worth the money to go. Just get there early, because it will probably end up being packed.
Yeah, as I said, I think there's some theaters that already sold out. So it was there's the top three movies I saw this past summer was The Avengers, The Dark Knight Rises, and the Rift Tracks of Manos Hands of Fate.
Exactly.
I mean, it was incredible. So instead, that was Casey and I's first experience of doing the Rift Tracks live. So
it's true, and it was well worth it. So we will be there next week. We hope you will be too.
Yep. And Darren, I know you didn't do it as fast months or back in August than did Manos. So if you and Braden, if there's anything you guys should do next week, do Rift Track.
Wait, what day is the 25th?
That's Thursday night?
Yeah, a week from tonight.
Oh, yep. I will be in California for a chiropractor conference.
Oh, well, you can make sure to get your friends, or I guess you'll be with their family. So try and grab one of our brothers to go along and do it.
And get Nathan to go. Maybe.
He would appreciate it. So
he just wants the kid out. Anyway.
So that's kind of the announcement for us. I know, Darren, you had a quick announcement you wanted to make.
Yes, I just saw online today that there is a court case with the family of the creators of Superman and Warner Brothers and who owned the rights. And it was very important, because if the family won the case and not Warner Brothers, then after the Man of Steel, they couldn't really do Superman movies. It would really hurt, obviously, Justice League, because Superman couldn't be in Justice League.
Oh, that would have been a travesty.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they still would have had him, but it just would have been really complicated, I think, with money rights.
Like, yeah, he wasn't able to have certain powers because they own the rights to those specific powers and things like that. So it would limit, you know, things he might be able to do in the Man of Steel.
There'd be no Kiss of Forgetfulness?
I know, and that would be a tragedy, especially for Brainiac.
The best scene of the DC
Robot Chicken.
With Superman kissing Brainiac. I lost it every time. Anyway.
But it, yeah, it would totally limit what they can do in Man of Steel, because they might not be able to do it again if he's in the Justice League.
Yeah. So, but again, I mean, I personally think if the family won, if he was had some form of intelligence, obviously did because he created the most iconic superhero of all time, at least their ancestor did, they would have allowed him, they would just make sure to get their money's worth.
They would have made a fortune off.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be a smart thing to do, because how many comic book creators, I mean, Stan Lee doesn't make any money off the movies at all.
Oh, he was bankrupt.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's ridiculous. But the thing is, as Warner Brothers have said, and this is, to me, very important, is that they will now release the movie in the summer of 2015, which is the same summer that Avengers 2 comes out, which to me is huge red flags. Huge red flag. Because it's already going to be compared to the Avengers movie, so now you're going to release it the same summer, which we were talking about before we recorded, is they have to release it before the Avengers comes out. So it needs to be released in April, early May, because Marvel always has their big summer movies in May. Iron Man, yeah. Thor came out in May, Captain America came out later, and so did Incredible Hulk.
But it came out the same year as Thor, didn't it?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And same with Incredible Hulk. Iron Man 1 came out, so it came out in July, a little bit later. And the Avengers came out in May, so they have to do it before, because if they do it after, I think it's going to really crash and burn. I really, really do.
It absolutely. But this is what's in DC or the Justice League's favor, is Ant-Man is also scheduled to come out in 2015.
Oh, really?
So, and you know that's got to happen before Avengers 2. So with any luck, that'll be released in May, and they'll push back Avengers to August or early September.
Yeah,
right there to catch the end of the summer season.
Good point. I think it'd come out in July. If Ant-Man comes out and it comes out in May, I think Avengers 2 will come out in July.
Yeah.
That's like the prime time summertime. I think maybe even 4th of July weekend. Who knows?
Yeah.
Said,
you know, said DC just, or Warner Brothers, just pull a DreamWorks here with Pixar, just come out first, you know, so everyone can kind of get their ants and then realize that it's inferior to Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Same thing here with Justice League and Event. I mean, I really want Justice League to succeed, but I said, if you're competing against each other, that's just a bad move. But here's something interesting, though. I mean, they are competing together. I was seeing some people discussing this, whether it's a smart move, the fact that Justice League is going to come out first and then branch off with their single movies, because Marvel obviously did the other way. But then I noticed among the general population, to a lot of people, Avengers was, well, except for Iron Man 1, Avengers was the only really popular, really well-received Marvel movie.
Yeah.
You know, Hulk, it's kind of a hit and miss. I love Hulk, but for other people, Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man 2.
They thought they were okay. They thought they were, they were average.
So a lot of people sit there and say, you know, oh, they have to have the single movies to introduce the characters, but then, you know, everyone, there's a lot of people just, the Avengers is the only Marvel movie they own. So who knows, maybe this might be a good thing as well to just launch, this is kind of a side topic, the original thing, but for the Justice League to just launch as its own movie and then have the solo movies after that.
Well, absolutely. When you look at the new 52 Justice League, how they kind of threw everyone into a battle where they all of a sudden had to start working together, and then you learn more from there. So if they kind of did a similar thing with the movie, I think that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone's generally familiar enough. If not, I mean, you don't need to go into everyone's origin story per se. There's ways to get around that, in my opinion.
People know who the main DC characters are. I mean, the Marvel characters weren't that well recognized outside of Spider-Man. And Wolverine.
Yeah, or X-Men.
X-Men. But, like, people know who The Flash is. People know who Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman are. And so I think that's a good point, is do we really need that much backstory? I mean, they just know that they're all associated together, and so they could just throw them out there and have a big old smash-up.
DC's animated department and their video game department, I think, has done enough to get people familiar with the characters. I mean... Yeah, DC vs. Mortal Kombat. You also have the DC online game. You have Arkham Asylum. You also have the new Arkham, the sequel to Arkham City that's going to be in the Silver Age with the other Justice League characters.
You have Batman, Lego Batman introduces a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
Number two.
And they're having a Lego Batman animated movie that's going to come out.
Yep. That's true.
So,
and you have Justice.
Yeah. Well, and just the whole Bruce Timm, Batman, Superman, Justice League Unlimited. Yep. I mean... So I think they're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
But Anyway, so that's kind of just don't want to get too much hung up on there. But see, I believe that's all the news you have. I can't remember if you have anything else before we get into our exciting panel discussion.
I don't have anything else. I just discovered this news today and had to, I needed to verbally express myself because I'm just, as I said, I'm a little worried. So
yeah,
I needed to vent somehow.
2014, 2016, wouldn't think it'd be an issue, but the same year as Avengers, it's just, we'll see how it turns out. Well, anyway, to start off our panel discussion, Darren, if you don't mind, if you want to get us started on it, since you approached us, and I know this is something that's been building up in your mind for quite a bit, so I want to do you the honors here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't mind starting us off at all. So the thing is, Bray and I have talked about this, and Devin and I have talked about this, and I'm sure Devin and Casey have talked about this, is the Avengers movie and the Dark Knight trilogy, because it wasn't just the Dark Knight Rises. I think the Dark Knight Rises just solidified what was going on because everyone was raving about the Dark Knight in, 2008. The thing is these movies are very different than any other comic book movie that's come out before it. And why is that? Why did these stand out more than anything else? And I'm not just talking about financial success. I'm talking about their impact on pop culture and the world of comic books. Because I know people, I had a friend who's a huge sports guy. Make fun of me that I read comic books. He texted me one night and said, Darren.
Throw it in the locker every time you walk by you at school.
Oh, yeah, give me wedgies and throw me in the garbage can. So, swirlies. Yeah, swirlies. They're really fun. No, but he texted me one night. He's like, Darren, I want to read one of your Captain America comic books. And I was floored. It's like, what? You want to read one of my comic books after you make fun of me for reading them and how nerdy and geeky it is? But he was really interested because of the Avengers movie and because of the Captain America movie that came out the summer before.
Yeah. So before we move on, I want to ask you, did you introduce him to the LeBron James Rings of Fury comic that's coming out or whatever it is?
Where he fights zombies all over and that. Wants to get all of his rings. Oh, Marvel, you sellouts.
Dude, sorry.
Sellouts.
Oh. Total side note, but
there's another news thing. Marvel's doing a comic book with ESPN about LeBron James getting his rings, and I guess he fights zombies and aliens. Need we say more?
Yeah.
Really?
So well, I think to do this panel, though, I think we have to separate both movies because each one had a very big impact in different ways. And you really, it's hard to compare the two as movies, but also it's hard to compare the two, in my opinion, of the different impact they received.
It's true. And they're very different, and they were very successful for different reasons.
Exactly.
Well, so how so? What was more successful in Dark Knight Rises as opposed to the Avengers? And what were their different successes?
Well, I think I don't know. For me, I guess the Dark Knight trilogy. I guess we can just start off with this one real quick. The Dark Knight trilogy. What made it for me so successful is the fact that it showed that you can have a superhero movie and not make it just about superheroes. It was very much a character piece. It was very much a piece about society in general. I mean,
it was an art form.
It was an art form. I mean, it was a movie that you could take. I mean, said when people saw The Dark Knight, that had so much social commentary and different things. And Heath Ledger's Joker. I mean, the fact that these kind of snub film critics, it's really hard to just kind of throw that film away and just shrug it off because of the performance of Heath Ledger, of the fact of what the Joker did, and as I said, the social commentary. I know a lot of people kind of. There's been a lot of analogies to the war on terror and to
both sides,
security.
Though. It's not just the conservative side. It's how it can really take over you and how you personally cross the line of your morals to get the terrorists, but also the other side of can you really even...
This is what you have to do if you want
to. Yeah, is this what you have to do? Exactly. So it works on both. And I think The Dark Knight Rises, same thing. It works on both levels and both sides of the political spectrum.
Yeah, Romney's not Bane, but also it's not Occupy. It's not a slap against the Occupy movement,
No.
So
because there, I mean, it's true. Like there are people who are wealthy and there are people who are poor who are struggling. And why can they just live as if nothing happened when other people are struggling day to day,
Yeah.
And so I felt like really well crafted.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the fact that you have a superhero movie based upon one of the masterpieces, A Tale of Two Cities. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the thing what made it so successful is that people sat there and watched these movies and realized that this isn't just a guy in tights running around beating up bad guys. I mean, you know, some costume freak. This was, I mean, there's so much more. I mean, it.
And the music, I felt like the music was so different and added to that art form mentality.
Yeah.
Because the Joker theme was chilling.
I think it was just one note, wasn't it?
It was one note. A razor blade and guitar strings.
Yeah. Or like a cello. It was incredible. And then even the theme music in The Dark Knight Rises, you know, the chanting. But even then, the Batman theme is not even really a theme song. I mean, it's not something where you think of like the original Batman theme or Indiana
Jones.
It's
like Danny Elfman or something.
Yeah, it's
which is what was missing. I mean, it needed Prince to help really bring it to life. But.
Oh, yeah. So it was
I forgot about Prince, Batman.
It was so outside the box than anything else we'd seen before in this genre.
That's the thing, because people, you watch those movies, you have to take, you can't shrug off, what the Dark Knight trilogy did was you cannot shrug off superhero movies.
And that they can't be something more.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, it took the superhero genre and pulled it out of the superhero genre. I mean, it made it deeper.
I think it's a great way of saying it.
Yeah, it gave it a real story, something that had been missing in superhero movies pretty much, you know, almost the entire time with a few exceptions. You put a quality director who, you know, isn't famous for doing superhero movies. He's famous for his, you know, his offbeat, his very intense, very character-driven dramas, and you give it to him, you put it in his hands, and you get something incredible.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting, too, you talk about character-driven, and I think what the Dark Knight trilogy, I know some people complained about this, but I actually really appreciated it, was it was a story about Bruce Wayne and Batman. It wasn't a focus on Batman, it was a focus on Bruce Wayne.
It should be focused on Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, because what makes Batman so intriguing is Bruce Wayne's personal demons and his personal struggles. And the fact that they did that, I think, was amazing, because that's what drew it out as well from the superhero. Because you think of every other superhero movie, Superman, said, you know, the Batman with Tim Burton, and even the Marvel stuff, it's the superheroes comes the main focus, and their care, or even Spider-Man and Peter Parker or whoever it may be, is part of that, you know. And almost I kind of want, you know, it's the only real struggle is how do they hide their secret identity?
Yeah. Yep. And it's always about them as the superhero fighting the evil villain.
Yeah. And this was very different than that. It was very much about Bruce Wayne's personal journey from beginning to end. And I think that's, for me, also what made it very successful as well, was it because of that character-driven aspect of it.
Well, yeah, and it was so tied all the way through. You look at Batman Begins, and it's all about he's Bruce Wayne, and he needs to find a way to break out of being Bruce Wayne so that he can accomplish what he needs to accomplish. He needs to find, you know, he needs to find the mask of Batman, which is who he really wants and to be and is. And then you get to The Dark Knight Rises, where now he's completely crushed under the weight of being Batman, and he needs to find a way to not be Batman.
Yeah. And be Bruce Wayne again.
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another point as well is that all the actors and actresses involved in this movie are very unconventional. They did not pick one person for sex appeal or because they know that they'll sell tickets. And I think that's the genius of Christopher Nolan, except for Katie Holmes. I think Warner Brothers made him, this is my theory, I think Warner Brothers made him pick Katie Holmes because of sex appeal. But then as soon as he had full reign, who'd he pick? Maggie Gyllenhaal, who is a great actress. I mean, she's pretty, but she's not, you know, it's not like Jessica Alba for Fantastic Four, or Jennifer Garner for, you know, Daredevil. It was, she was picked for her qualities as an actress. And it was, I think that's what also helped these movies, is that the acting of the actors and actresses sold the movie, not because of just who they are. You know, for being famous or whatever. Because Christian Bale was not famous before Batman. He was famous because of Batman now. Same with Michael Caine. Michael Caine was well known, but everyone now knows Michael Caine more because of The Dark Knight.
For being
trilogy.
A Nolan, being in every Nolan movie.
Every Nolan movie
exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, Heath Ledger was well known, but every time, but he was known as a team bopper. So now you get him to be this evil, evil, maniacal villain. I mean, once again, pushing the borders of what is convention. You have Anne Hathaway, Selina Kyle. I mean, who would have picked her?
But. Yeah, I mean, think about when The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, when the casting was announced for the Joker or for Catwoman.
Everyone's just like, what?
What? It's like, this is going to be horrible. And then everyone goes and sees it and just raves.
Uh-huh.
It's like the people that they were most skeptical about are the ones that nail the biggest and most powerful performances.
See, I think that's probably genius on Nolan's part, because he's like, I'm going to choose these people that everyone's going to hate on. So they're going to be so surprised by their acting ability that they're going to love it, you know, because then when your standard's so low, you just exceed the standard.
That's true. He's like, suck it, guys.
Because, Anne Hathaway did a great job as Catwoman. And, you know, I know a lot of people still love Michelle Pfeiffer, but then Heath Ledger, I mean,
he won an Oscar.
Jack Nicholson
does not compare. I'm sorry. I love the guy, but does not compare.
I think he does a great job for that version of the Joker.
Yeah,
but Heath Ledger, I mean, he gave a whole new look of it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think overall, though, I think The Dark Knight Rises, I think those are the things that made that so successful. But The Avengers, though, again, is a very different. I guess if anyone has any last points about the Dark Knight trilogy before we move on.
No, I was just going to say, I think it was the pioneer to get people thinking of comic book movies differently. Was The Dark Knight. Batman Begins started it, but it was The Dark Knight. And you had serious tones before that. We'll discuss this later with, you know, X-Men was more serious toned and not campy, but just The Dark Knight trilogy nailed it, and I think that's what started this new renaissance and people get interested. But to go on now segueing to The Avengers, I think The Avengers finalized it.
We want to thank everyone for joining us for this special episode of Between the Reels. Come join us for part two as we discuss how The Avengers has affected comic book movie culture. We want to thank Darren from over at Between the Bubbles for joining us in our panel discussion. Until next time, happy viewing. Between the Reels is produced under Creative Commons license. Bumper music provided by Kevin MacLeod. We'll see you next week.